You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Yesterday, I did a fairly long show. It was a little under an hour after in post-production. Usually, I can cut my show down in post-production by about a third, so I got it under an hour. And it was about the fact that George Soros is a big supporter of socialism in the world. He really wants to have socialism where the government plans a lot of things, be the type of government that we have. And that includes the United States. And because he's very wealthy, he's a billionaire. He's wealthier than Donald Trump, is my understanding. Quite a bit wealthier. He has given not millions or hundreds of millions, but billions of dollars to various political parties, candidates, organizations, such as think tanks, throughout the years. And he's been doing this for many, many years. Now, I pick Soros for a reason. He's the number one donor by far to leftist, far leftist organizations. And he does it through a number of conduits, if you will. The Tides Foundation is one of them, but his Open Society. It looks, and one of the reasons people do that is you don't know where really the money's coming from. Because after you go through two or three organizations, who knows where the money came. And a lot of people, especially wealthy, don't want their names attached to these organizations, even though they support them. They're not denying it, and it is a matter of public record, because you got to file tax returns, but also organizations publish who their donors are. But he's sort of the Daddy Warbucks, the big kahuna. I don't know how you like to describe him, but he has the money and he's willing to spend it if the candidates support his agenda. And he has an agenda. And I was going over some of the issues that he supports, but I really didn't have time to finish. And some of them I really didn't develop as much as I would like to. And there's one, though, that I said, you know, I just have to talk about it because it is a hot button issue with me. Or a deal-breaking issue, and I'll get into that in a minute, but what I'm trying to say is if a candidate is on the wrong side of this issue, I'm never going to vote for him. I'm very much pro-life, and I will never support any candidate that's a pro-abortion or what they like to say pro-choice, because it is killing life, namely human life, in the womb. So I'm going to be talking about Planned Parenthood, the eugenics movement, the role of progressives and liberals in it. And I'll relate it to what's happening today, because what we're in the midst of is a campaign for the next president of the United States, which I think is a very important election. Now, you hear that all the time. Well, this election's very important. Well, this one I actually think it is. And my biggest disappointment is I don't think we have the best, the brightest, the most principled, and really the wisest people running. Many very capable people simply don't go into politics. They don't want any part of it. Many of them simply don't follow it. And I think that's a mistake, because you have people over long periods of time that are crusaders. They want to do things that the majority of the American people simply don't want. And probably the best example of that, right? Well, actually, there's several. But the biggest example right now, and this is why we have a really disconnect in this country between the so-called, what I call the political elitist establishment, and that's primarily the leadership of both the Democratic and Republican parties and their big donor base. And I always try to make a distinction. I'm not talking about small campaign contributions that individuals make. What I'm talking about is the donations that the millionaires, the billionaires make to political parties, institutions that support the various issues. There's a whole network of these organizations. Planned Parenthood is just the example that I'm going to be focusing in on today. I remember someone asked me, well, how do you spot a progressive? What's a progressive? How do you spot one? I said, well, my quick test is, do they support Planned Parenthood? Because if they do, they most likely, and I would say about 99% of the time, are progressives. They believe that the government should control your life. They're about power. They're about using the government for the ends that they want to be achieved, and they use the government as a means to achieving those ends. So they're very much interventionists, both at home and abroad. And that's probably the second way to spot a progressive. Are they a big advocate of using government to intervene, both domestically or at home, in your lives, as well as abroad? And if they are, they are progressives. Now, what's difficult is many of them are Democrats, many are Republicans, and you have to sort that out. And one of the ways I do it is there are some key issues that I call deal-breaking issues that if you're on the wrong side of it, I won't vote for you. And one of them is, it's not a hard one, are they for Planned Parenthood? Now, there's other ones, and I briefly covered that yesterday. One is, are they for open borders? And you'll notice, and I'll give you another one in a minute, but most of them will, you can almost check the box, go down the list. Are they for Planned Parenthood? Yes. Are they for open borders? Yes. Do they want to reduce carbon emissions? Namely, are they a believer that man is the cause of climate change? Yes. So those are just three issues amongst several that if you examine someone's position, you quickly determine, and the big one is, are they a government interventionist? Are they a big advocate of using government to do things that are not really in the interest of the American people? Now, what I'm concerned about is that most people simply are not aware of who are the people providing the money to various political candidates and campaigns, as well as these organizations. You seldom hear names. You know, they have to report where they get the contributions to. But you really seldom, if ever, and George Soros is really the exception to the rule to this, do you really pierce that veil? Because, and it's important to pierce it, and that's what I'm doing here today for this simple reason. If people with a lot of money, the owners of this United States, and they are very much the owners, and the people that work for them at the very highest levels, namely the executives, your chairmen of the board, chief executive officers, that make more money than you and I will see in our lifetime, in a year. These are well-paid people, and it doesn't take many of these people to really determine who wins or loses an election. And that's what we're going through right now. Now, the joker in this political campaign, and many of the people have described him as a clown. I didn't use that word, but I don't believe he's a clown. I think he's a very successful, smart businessman, is Donald Trump. And the reason why I call him the joker, though, the political elites thought they knew who was going to be the candidates, namely the Democratic Party candidate was going to be Hillary Clinton, and the Republican candidate was going to be Jeb Bush. Those were the so-called establishment candidates. They got up front a lot of the big money, if you will, from the donor class. And there's a reason why the donor class supports these candidates. Now, the overarching or overriding issue, the one thing that the owners, executives of these large corporations want is open borders. They want cheap, compliant labor. And that's exactly what has been happening, both under, and this has been going on 15 to 20 years. It's been going under both Bushes, the Clintons, and Obama. And it's getting worse, worse, and worse, and now it's very, very noticeable. You can't hide 30 to 50 million illegal aliens in this country. And they're not all coming from or crossing into this country over the U.S.-Mexican border. You know, upwards of 40 to 50%. No one knows exactly how many there that are here. Come through, they fly in, either on tourist visas, business visas, student visas, and they overstay their visas. And they're living and working here today. So when you have open borders, you don't control your borders, and you don't deport or enforce the immigration laws. And if you do that over a period of 15 to 20 years, what happens? You have a much larger workforce consisting of first illegals. And when I say 30 to 50 million, that's what I'm talking about. In addition to that, for over 10 years, going on, I think, 15 years, legal immigration has accounted for over a million a year. Now, this is not an immigration story, but I'm emphasizing this for a point. Who do this benefits and who does this hurt? Always follow the money. Well, it obviously benefits those employers, mainly businesses, but also governments, that are able to hire cheap labor in various industries. It's not one industry, by the way. Farming, ranching, meatpacking, construction, maintenance. I can go on and on. Cooks, maids. The common denominator is it, when they hire an illegal, whether it's off the books, namely, they pay cash, or on the books where they accept fraudulent documents that the illegals present to them to cover their rear ends or hire an agency, they benefit. They obviously benefit, and to a certain extent, so do you, and so do I. And that's why you have over 400 cities, including Dallas, many of them in Texas and California, that welcome the illegals. I, for many years, lived in a condominium. And because I lived there so long, I saw the whole neighborhood change. And now it's the neighborhood I used to live in is largely, not completely, but largely illegals as well as legal immigrants. You can't hide it. And that's the problem. But you can lie about it. And because the media backs the Democratic Party, the progressives, largely, why? Most of them are liberals, progressives. They believe in big government. They believe in interventionism. They believe in trying to control your lives. They believe they are an elite that know better. They don't know better. They're not wise. They've screwed up this country so bad that the American people are revolting. And like I said yesterday, poll after poll confirms this. Because you'll have questions on these polls. Do you think the United States overall is going in the right direction? And roughly about two-thirds say, no, it's not. Just the opposite. What the American people are now revolting. It's a silent majority revolt or rebellion that could easily result in civil unrest for the simple reason the American people, the citizens, the people that were born, raised, and educated here have had enough of this nonsense from both political parties. And it is very much a tyranny, a two-party tyranny, or call it a bipartisan tyranny. Because the leadership of both parties is in support of open borders. Now, you do have differences. The Democratic Party simply doesn't care whether these people that come here, whether they come here legally or illegally. The Democratic Party believes, and I agree with them, that if all these illegals that are here ultimately can get citizenship, about two-thirds. I really think it's closer to three-fourths, by the way. It could even actually be higher. Will become registered Democratic voters. That's what's in it for the Democratic Party. Power, folks. They need to replace those people, namely American citizens, that have given up on the Democratic Party. See, both parties are losing their voter bases. Right now, the leading party affiliation is independents. Those are both Democrats, Republicans. And it continues. And I've made the point that when it hits 50% or exceeds 50%, and right now independents are in the low 40s, The number bounces around. Keep that in mind. But the overall trend over the last 20, 25, actually about 40 years, as independents have become first a minority, but now a majority. And once they get over 50%, you can do the math. Let's say they're at 50% and the Democrats and the Republicans split the votes evenly. They each get 25%. Who will win the election? Now, many Democrats and Republicans think, well, we will, because we've set it up that we have a two-party system. And yes, they have set it up. It's very, very difficult to get on the ballot and stay on the ballot if you're starting a new political party. That's why, even though there are dozens of political parties, most of them get a trivial percentage, and it's irrelevant. And the line you'll hear is, you don't want to waste your vote. You got a choice. And see, that's the game. That's the box they want to put you in, where you only have two choices. It's like going to the grocery store, plastic or paper. Now, a couple of, about this time last year, and this is somewhat a diversion, and I'm debating whether to pursue it, but it's I'm trying to get something across, though, because people tend to fall into bad habits. They don't think out of the box. So when they go to a grocery store, and I'm just as guilty of this, by the way. Today, I can get paper or plastic, and 2 years ago, I get paper and plastic, but what happened? We had a city councilman, a black city councilman, that got through a legislation that if you wanted either paper or plastic, you're going to pay some money. It was a token amount, a nickel. I forget what it was. So I did what a lot of people did. As I said, forget about it. Put the groceries in the cart. I took it to the car, and I had some bags. But there was a lot of complaints. The grocers don't like this, by the way. And we don't have it anymore. Some cities have this. Now, what you could do, and what I did, is I bought bags. Permanent bags, not paper bags, not plastic bags, bags. As a matter of fact, I used two of them to carry my headphones and different stuff when I come to the campus. They're rather a convenient size. But initially, I got them to carry groceries. The people didn't like this at all, and there's a revolt. And now we're back to paper or plastic, and I insist on double paper. Why? I use the paper to put the garbage in. That's why I was a little upset. Because for as long as I was been in Texas, no matter where I went, there was no charge or additional charge for paper or plastic. It was in the cost of businesses. Businesses knew they wanted to encourage shoppers to buy merchandise so they don't try to nickel and dime them. Because customers don't like being nickel and dimed. It doesn't mean it's free. I never thought the bags were free, by the way. It's part of the overhead, whether it's the lighting, the heating, the bags. It's a cost of doing business. But you have people such as this black councilman. He's an interventionist. He wants to tell businesses and you how you will buy your merchandise in the sense that you got to buy the bags. Now, what was this all about? It was just to raise money, folks. Don't be fooled. And that's why the people resented this. Now, they had a cover story. You know, we had litter in Dallas. But this is really a small example of what you're up against. You're up against people that can't mind their business. They're nannies. Some people call it the nanny state. That's what they're about. They simply cannot mind their business. They want to mind your business. And that's why I objected. This is a small, small, almost trivial issue. And I might even go into another example that is also a trivial issue. You see this across the nation. Most Americans simply want to go about living their lives. They want to be left alone. They're not against government. But the problem is we have a government on all levels that's out of control. It's been corrupted by money. What economists call rent seekers, people that want something from the government, whether it's subsidies, whatever form that may take, legislation. For example, ethanol. There's no reason to have ethanol in our gasoline, and it's expensive. The only reason we have ethanol is Congress passed a law. because the corn growers in states like Iowa want it. That's a subsidy, folks. You know, before we had the automobile, a large percentage, a really significant percentage of what we grew was fed to animals, namely primarily horses, but also oxen, for transportation. We don't need that anymore. We should be eating the food we grow, not turning it into ethanol. And the only reason we have it in our gas tanks is because we had lobbyists going to Congress and finally getting it passed as a bill. They're taking money out of your pocket. It does make it more expensive. There's no need for ethanol, but we have it, and they want to put more in it. There's a problem with it. The more it damages your engine, especially small engines, not in your car, but like your lawnmower, if you're not careful. That's just another small example of people not minding their business, intervening in the economy, because they make money. If you grow corn, and now we have an industry that produces ethanol, what do they want to do? They want to mandate it. That's a favorite word, mandate it. They want to force you to buy their product. And they use the government to do that. Just like this Dallas black councilman wanted to force you to pay a tax if you're going to use either a paper bag or a plastic bag. We were already paying for it and had been paying it for years. And people got used to that. People were free to say no. Let's say you're an environmentalist. You don't want to use paper or plastic. Well, then buy your own bag and bring it in. You could always do that. You can do that now. Now, I don't do it now because, like I told you, what do I use the paper bags for? To put my garbage in, to take it and put it into a dumpster. I live in an apartment. So these government interventionists, and that's one of the ways to know if you're dealing with a progressive, they're all around you. I'm on a college campus, and it's similar to college campuses across this nation. Most of the faculty and administrators are liberal progressives. If they talk about social justice, that's another thing, check mark. They're big advocates of social justice or a sustainable planet. That's part of their indoctrination of the students here. On another show, I started to tell the story, and I will now finish the story. I was taking an economics class. To get access to this studio, I have to take one course. So I decided to take an economics course. Now, my background, if you listen to the past shows, I could teach the course. But I hadn't taken an economics course in probably at least 40 years. I'm getting up there in age. So I thought it would be a nice idea just to see what they're telling students today, how they're teaching the course. And I've considered maybe in the future teaching. At one time I did, when I was really as a part-time job, teach a course in financial economics at the University of Texas at Dallas. This was many, many years ago. I'm really dating myself here. So I have taught economics. I know the subject matter fairly well, and I was in the financial services industry. But so I took this course. The only thing, and this didn't surprise me, but it might surprise you, especially if you haven't been in college for 10, 20, 30 years. When I went to college many, many years ago, you usually had to write a term paper. You had a midterm and a final, and many professors would have pop quizzes. All of this was, there were no multiple choice questions, by the way. There were no fill in the blanks or matching. There were short essays, a paragraph or two, put it that way. I wouldn't even call it an essay. So you had to read the material, digest it, and the way you get a letter grade for the course was to demonstrate your mastery of the subject by writing short, 1, 2, 3 paragraphs for the midterm and final questions, and then a prepared paper, typically 10 to 20 pages. Well, one thing that has changed, both the quizzes today and midterms and finals are typically multiple choice questions. Now, you can make a multiple choice question very, very hard, where if you don't know, you haven't mastered the material, you're not going to get it right. You might guess one or two, but overall, it's not going to work. But that's how testing is done today. Now, he did give, at the very, very last minute, by the way, we had to do what I thought was going to be an essay, a short essay. And I was expecting 10 or 20 pages. Initially said, well, I'll give you the requirements in October. Well, we were through October and hadn't done it, so I raised my hand. Other people did as too. Well, when are you going to give us the requirements? You know, and right before Thanksgiving, and the term ended, I think, the 13th of December, he finally put what he wanted for the paper. Now, I'm making a couple of points here. What was the paper on? It was on socialism. We read a article that Albert Einstein, the famous physicist, probably the most famous scientist in the world, wrote in 1949. It was published in the first edition of Monthly Review, which is a far leftist Marxist publication. It still is. I believe they're still publishing. And I knew that. And I was aware that Einstein was a socialist. And I read this article and actually discussed it in class, and I simply wasn't impressed. I'm impressed with Einstein, but not on his essay on socialism. And I kept scratching my head. I said, why in the world are we reading this? There are a lot better things to read if you're interested in socialism. I'm not saying the essay was below average. It wasn't. But he was advocating socialism, and it's clear he did not understand, nor did he support free market capitalism at all. I wouldn't expect a socialist to do that. But why are we spending time on this, wasting time on this? They're trying to indoctrinate the students, folks. I'm real suspicious why suddenly he waited and waited and waited and then sprang this on us. Oh, he knew my background, by the way. You know, I joked about it. I said, I'm a ringer. I know this material already. I'm just doing it for review, and we got along fine. I have no problem with the instructor, and I did very well in the course. I'm not complaining about a grade, but I'm trying to get across to you what's going on. In the colleges today, most of the professors are liberals, progressives. They support socialism. Now, they might have different versions of it, but they are. They want government intervention to solve what they perceive as problems, whether they're real or not. And that's what students have to put up with. Now, most of the students, because they're young, are not aware they've been indoctrinated. They don't want them to be aware, by the way. And I obviously pose a problem for them in a sense that I will ask the difficult questions. So that's what is going on. Colleges today are primarily, especially the community colleges, they're baby sick. I call them B6. B-sick. B-sick. Now, what do I mean by B-sick? They're babysitting indoctrination centers. That's what they are. And what they've done, because they have a problem, the problem, talk to anyone, they'll be honest with you. Too many people are going to college that should not be here. They're not college material. They never will be college material. And they can take as many developmental or remedial courses as you have, and they're not going to be able to get to a reading level where they can even do the reading. And you see it in the percentage of people that actually graduate. I remember doing a news story. Oh, this is a couple of years ago. I heard the chancellor, and he has since retired. And I don't remember the exact statistic, but it was under 25%. I think the number he used was 21, 22%. It's been a while. But I listened closely to it because I especially went to hear what he had to say. And it was not to me. It was to the faculty and staff, more or less telling them what's going on in the district. But he pointed to what was a really serious problem, that less than 25% of the students that enroll either in an associate program or a certificate program actually complete it. Now, before he gave the number, when he was leading up to this, I would say my guess was, what was going through my mind, I said, my guess is maybe half graduate. I wasn't expecting 80 or 90%, which is where I think it should be, by the way. But I said, just knowing what I've seen, probably half. That was my guess. And I sort of fell out of my seat when he said 21, 22%, something like that, 21 point something, something like that. That's failure, folks. That's a massive waste of resources. But it's repeated across this country. Why? Because you have subsidies. The state subsidizes. I'm receiving subsidies. Might surprise you, but every student is receiving subsidies. Who's paying for this? Well, some will say, well, the government's paying. The state of Texas is paying it. Or the federal government's paying it. No, you and me are paying for it. Now, what economists will say, well, they have what's called positive externalities. What does that mean? People getting education benefit society. They obviously benefit themselves in getting a better paying job, but because they learn how to read, communicate, knowledgeable on subjects, the whole society benefits. Okay, I can buy that. I'm not arguing that. What I'm arguing about is the waste of resources, time, money that is spent not only on this campus, this is across the nation, where what we've done is made these institutions babysitters, indoctrination centers, but we've also dumbed them down. That's what's going on. Now, your best students usually don't come to community colleges. They go to your better universities because they get scholarships. And that's a whole other subject about the pricing of tuition that I could get into. And that's what I did. When I went to college, there weren't any community colleges. They were called junior colleges. We had some, but I wasn't near one. So if you were bright, applied yourself, read at the 12th grade level, had decent grades, I'm an AB student. You usually could get into one of the leading colleges. Now, obviously, you have to apply, which I did. But I'm telling this story because who runs academia today? Invariably, 90 to 95% of them are progressives and liberals. They're also Democrats and Republicans, largely Democrats, but a lot of Republicans. You see, both parties over time have moved further and further and further to the left. And that's why they've come to believe, truly believe, that government intervention is the answer. Now, tomorrow's show is going to be about a speech that President Obama is probably delivering right now, as they're about wrapping it up at George Mason University, concerning gun control. So I'm not going to address that, but I bring it up because yesterday was a rally in the White House where Barack Obama got a little emotional. You could see the tears. He was wiping away the tears from his eyes. No problem with that. On certain issues, I get emotional and I tear up. Sometimes a lot worse than the president. That's not what I'm criticizing. He's using emotion, and that's a very effective propaganda technique, because he would like to, but he can't replace the Second Amendment, which gives you and me the right to bear and keep arms. Ultimately, he would like to rescind it. He knows that's not going to happen. But that doesn't stop him from trying to limit your freedom and rights. What he proposed is rather meaningless. And he needs money for Congress to, he wants to have a more thorough background check. That's filling out a form, folks, that you send in, FBI looks at, checks your record, see you're not a criminal. That's not going to stop violence. He knows this. He knows this is meaningless. None of what he proposes would stop criminals from shooting people or terrorists from shooting people. They don't care about the laws. They're not going to go to a gun store and fill out a form. They're going to steal the weapons or buy them on the black market from criminals. He knows it. I know it. Everyone knows it. What does he want, doesn't want to talk about, what the media doesn't want to talk about, is, well, a couple of facts. Crime, as well as violent crime and homicides, have been going down, down, and down. Point one. That's just a fact. Go to the FBI statistics, crime statistics, but not my opinion, that's a fact. And one of the numbers that was thrown out, that 30,000 people are killed using guns. Now, two-thirds of those are self-inflicted. They're suicides. And if people can't get a gun, they'll jump off a bridge or a building or drink a poison or slash their wrist. If someone is going to take their lives, they're going to find a way to do it. Having a more extensive background check and more people and putting additional information on it, it's not going to stop suicides. And that is about two-thirds, the numbers vary, but about two-thirds of the people that kill themselves with guns are suicides. And that's an important point. And nothing that he's doing is going to stop that. People, if they want to end their lives, will find a way. And if you're involved with them and help them, maybe you can prevent it. But a more extensive background check is not going to stop it. Now, what he does not want to talk about is the fact that most of the homicides are done by criminals, gangs, drug dealers. And if you look at the statistics, if the person doing the shooting is a white, he's probably killing a white. And if a person is black, he's going to kill another black. In other words, it's usually the same race. That's another fact. Another fact that he doesn't want to talk about is why blacks represent between 12 and 13% of the population. Over half the homicides are blacks killing other blacks. And who are the people getting killed? It's usually people in poor neighborhoods where you have people, you have gangs, you also have drugs being sold. And it's the legal citizens, law-abiding citizens, that are getting hurt. And they're blacks. They're, because of the murder rate, is disproportional. Over 50% of the homicides are done by blacks. And roughly 90-95% of the victims are blacks. That's what should be talked about, but never is. And if they can't shoot you, they'll stab you or club you or beat you to death. You see, inanimate objects, I don't care whether it's a gun, a rifle, pistol, club, knife, they're inanimate. Guns don't kill, people kill is my point. And if you're going to propose legislation or changes, deal with the problem. You need to be honest first with the American people. You don't take people's rights to defend themselves against the criminal element or against a government that is acting like a tyrant or dictator. Because the main reason we have the Second Amendment is, which means the right to bear and keep arms, is to put a fundamental check on anyone trying to act like a king, a dictator, a tyrant, however you want to label them. And we have a president that is doing that. And neither party will stop him. Because under the Constitution, there's only two ways to stop him. You impeach and convict him, or you stop the funding. You see, we have a president that is not living up to the oath of office that he swore twice. He's betraying the Constitution. What he's doing is unconstitutional, and it's in several areas. The more important one is immigration. He's not enforcing immigration law. Oh, there's some enforcement, but once you get across the border and you're in Dallas or any other city, your chances of being prosecuted and deported are, in essence, slim or none, even if you have a criminal record from whatever country you came or even committed crimes here. What the president is doing is following an agenda that's set, not by him. He's a bought and paid for politician, as are most of them. Most of the people today in Washington, D.C., of both parties, have been corrupted by the large campaign contributions of people such as George Soros. It's done on the left and right. Both parties do it. Both have their supporters. And many of these people contribute to both parties because they don't really care who wins. You see, they want to be left alone, too. They want access. But a lot of them are what economists call rent seekers. They want something from the government. That's why they're paying out this money. It's a cheap investment. They buy these politicians on the cheap. It's a small, for every penny, they might get tens of dollars. It has a big payoff. That's why it attracts the money from the owners and the executives of these corporations, and they don't do it for nothing. It's not a charity, folks. They want something, and the number one thing they want a lot of things, but the number one thing they want is cheap labor. In other words, they want the immigration laws not to be enforced. They don't want a secure border, but they don't want the laws enforced because we have laws that they are breaking today. You can go into many businesses in Dallas or any city, and businesses are hiring illegals. That's a crime. That's a felony. There are stiff fines. And if you're a repeat offender, you could go to jail. Is that being enforced? No, it's not being enforced. Why? Because they benefit. That's why they're making these campaign contributions, besides subsidies, change in regulations, change in tax laws. But this is a big one, folks. And it's hard to hide this one because they're in their neighborhood. They're in your neighborhoods. They're on the streets. They're in the stores that you go to. And I've said this once. I'll say it again. I live in a large apartment complex. They're working for that apartment complex. They're working on this college campus, by the way. The law is not being enforced, and that's a very dangerous precedent because the people say, well, listen, if they're not going to enforce the law, why should I obey the law? That is how societies become corrupt and ultimately fall. People don't trust their government any longer. That's where we're at. It's very corrosive. Besides being illegal, it's corrosive. Oh, this is criminal behavior, folks. But it's widespread and massive. Who benefits from open borders? The employers of these illegal aliens. Obviously, the illegal aliens benefit because they have a job, and many of them not only have a job, but get welfare. And they're better off here than from whatever country they've come from, whether it's Mexico, Central America, Caribbean, South America, or any other country. And they know it. I don't blame the illegals. I'm blaming first, our elected representatives for not insisting that the law be enforced. And then I'm blaming the very wealthy that are corrupting these politicians, as well as their businesses associations, Chamber of Commerce. Oh, they support open borders, too. Who does it hurt? It hurts the American worker. What else is going on? What's the issue, though? So there is a clear case of a cost to the American worker. And the American people, by not enforcing the law and having our politicians being corrupted, namely bought off by campaign contributions. What else? And why did I mention the president crying? He shedded a couple of tears. Now, I think why he cried, that you know, he remembers there have been several mass shootings where kids were shot and killed. Usually the people doing this were mentally disturbed. And many, besides being mentally disturbed, are also taking prescribed medication. And they become suicidal and homicidal, and ultimately what happens, they go to a so-called gun-free zone, which I'm sitting in right now, and they kill people. And they want to kill themselves. They want control. Ultimately, they want to kill themselves. So first they kill, murder, whoever's there, teachers, small children, and ultimately, they put the gun to the head and they kill themselves. Or if they can't do that, they want the police to kill them. And that happens as well. Sometimes they survive. And if you look at the mass shootings where more than four or more people have been killed, that is the pattern you'll see over and over and over again. You have mentally disturbed people that are not well socialized. They typically are not married. They don't have a girlfriend. They don't have social relations. But they have some fundamental problems. And usually, not always, but usually, what do? They buy the guns, can pass a background check, or they steal the guns, or they take them from their parents. Because many of these are young males, teenagers, people in their 20s. A more extensive background check is going to do absolutely nothing because all the background check does is go to databases, and it's very much garbage in, garbage out. They're supposed to have, for example, criminals should be in that database, people convicted of felonies. Why many states do a good job, many other states don't. Even though your typical criminal doesn't go to your gun store, some that are not the brightest do and get passed through. They pass the background check because the data is simply not in the database. I was listening to a talk show last night. I listened to several. And you notice I haven't taken any calls and we haven't had any ads. And one of the reasons I listen to these talk shows is I want to hear what the callers are asking questions about. And this show, I'm not even going to mention the name, but he had a lot of, let us say, uninformed callers. I'm trying to be very diplomatic here. And I constantly was shutting the show off. These people are not, they're not paying attention, I guess is the best thing I could say. But he had a couple of callers that were making a point. One was a law enforcement. He worked for a defense contractor and had to get a security clearance. I was in the Air Force, so I had a security clearance. And when I worked for in aerospace, I had a security clearance, which means the FBI has to do a background check, and it's more than checking a database. They go out and talk to your neighbors, okay? Well, this gentleman was saying, he says, I'm a police officer. I have a weapon. Matter of fact, I have a gun safe that's full. And he says, this happened to me many years ago. He didn't pass the background check, so he got on the phone. What's the problem? Well, we have that the FBI had, he was flagged by the FBI. Well, the reason he was flagged by the FBI is they did a background check so he could get the security clearance. That's what I mean by garbage in, garbage out. It should have been automatic. He didn't have any criminal record. This is when he first became a police officer. And someone, another caller, come in and basically said, I've had the same problem. These are law-abiding citizens. That's the problem with government databases. In other words, filling out a form and relying on this database is going to do nothing to stop criminals from killing people. It's going to do nothing to stop people that are mentally ill, that are taking medication, and unfortunately the side effects is they become suicidal or homicidal. And the president knows this. What he's about is exactly what he says he's not about. He's trying to eliminate the Second Amendment. And that is part of a socialist progressive agenda. They don't want the citizens of this country to have weapons to defend, first of all, themselves, their families, against criminals. But more importantly, do they do not want a citizenship to have weapons should and when they decide to show their true colors that they are truly tyrants and dictators. And President Obama is showing that's what he's about. And he knows he has a little over a year before he's out of office, and most of his legacy is going, it's in the toilet and about to be flushed because the American people don't support him. That's why he lies to them. And who is up next? Supposedly, Hillary Clinton will be his third term. And he needs Hillary Clinton to win, not just run, to win. Hillary Clinton has a problem. She has a big problem that's in the news. And that is, there is a ton of evidence that she has violated multiple federal laws concerning the handling of classified documents. If it were anyone else by now, she would have been indicted. And she hasn't been. Why? She's a Democrat. She's running for president. She should be indicted. The evidence is there. The people that have worked for the government, including me, but a lot of people, know that she's guilty. You don't receive and send classified information to your own private server. That violates several laws. And that alone means she should be indicted, tried, and if convicted, sent to prison. She shouldn't be running for president. But that's the best they have. But more importantly, who's supporting her? George Soros is supporting it, as well as others in the progressive liberal donor base. Is she the most qualified? You got to be kidding me. Donald Trump is right. She has been a disaster as Secretary of State. She doesn't have a record or a resume of achievement. She has a record of failure, as does Barack Obama. But why is she the candidate? Because the donor class wants certain things that she is supporting. And she is supporting the democratic, progressive, socialist agenda of George Soros. Now, I have less than 10 minutes, but I can make it quick. And that concerns what is the other issue? And that is eugenics. In other words, determining who the fit and unfit are. Now, they don't use that word anymore. Today, it's population control. And the organization is Planned Parenthood. What does Planned Parenthood do? What's its major source of revenue, besides the government? They do abortions. They kill babies in the womb. Roughly, and this is an approximation, 1 million babies are aborted in the United States every year. We have a fairly high abortion rate. Compare that to how many people are killed by handguns. You don't see President Obama crying about that. And roughly 35% of those abortions are black babies. You see, eugenics was about improving the human race by getting rid of the so-called unfit. Blacks, Jews, people with disabilities. Now, after the Holocaust, after it became clear what the Germans, the National Socialists, had done in Germany, killing the Jews and others, their political opponents, it wasn't fashionable any longer. You still have wealthy people supporting Planned Parenthood and population control. They're all progressives. They're all for government intervention. And who does that hurt? Obviously, it hurts the black babies, the Hispanic babies, the white babies that are killed. And I understand there are women that don't want those children. Good. Put them up for adoption. But the biggest supporter by far, actually there are two, of Planned Parenthood is Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Why? Now, I think that's what they want, but that's what George Soros also wants. That is part of the agenda of the liberals and progressives in this country. And then they accuse the Republicans of having a war on women. No, the war is on babies killers. And they're butchering these babies to sell the parts. I've never seen him, the president, shed a tear for that. We're talking not 8,000 or 9,000 people that are killed in crimes. We're talking hundreds of thousands every year. Upwards of 1 million every year he's been in office, and he's a big supporter of Planned Parenthood. And they do get government money, and neither the Democratic or Republican Party is trying to stop it in Congress. The Democratic Party is not going to stop it. They're all for this. Oh, it's a woman's right to control her body. Fine. Don't get pregnant. But you don't have a right to kill another human being, and that's the baby in your womb. And if you don't want to take care of it, give it up for adoption. You see, that is part of the agenda. The Democratic Party, progressive, liberal, socialist agenda for this country. And it has a history. It didn't start with President Obama or Hillary Clinton. This has been going on for over 100 years. The progressive movement in this country started in the 1880s, 1890s. They're about using government to achieve what they think should be the ends for society. And what they are about, they don't tell you this, they are the racists. They are killing black babies and Hispanic babies because of the roughly 1 million abortions that are performed every year, many of them by Planned Parenthood, over 60% are blacks and Hispanics. That saves a lot of money. And when you have been doing this legally since 1973, that's over 15 million black babies that are dead. They're no longer here. He doesn't cry for them. No tears are shed for them. I remember when he was running, I don't want my daughters punished by having to have a baby. No, he wants them killed. He's a real piece of work. And the progressives on this campus, in colleges, in the organizations that George Soros supports, that is part of their agenda. They don't believe in the rule of law. They don't enforce the laws that are in the books right now. They laugh at our Constitution. They're trying to make it, and they're succeeding, a dead letter. They don't like the United States Constitution. Why? It puts checks and balances to stop this garbage. And it is garbage. It's evil, folks. It's the killing of human life, and the government is supporting it, and our courts are supporting it. Yeah, I'm pro-life. And if you're pro-abortion or pro-choice, I don't vote for you. That is a deal killer, because what you're about is killing people. But everyone is noting and commenting, he shed a tear about guns. Actually, I understand. I would get choked up having to go and talk to the parents or the families of those killed in the mass shooting. But what he's proposing would never stop that. But there's no tears shed, no tears shed, for the hundreds of thousands, really upwards of 1 million babies, that are going to be killed legally in this country in abortion clinics across the United States. It's estimated over 1,000, actually it's several thousand, are killed every single day. No tears shed there. And who are the biggest supporters of this? Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And you see it in their support that they give, speeches they give to Planned Parenthood, and the support they get from them. It's a network of people. Fortunately, it is a small percentage of the population. Like I said yesterday, I think it's somewhere between 10 to 20%. Who knows what the right number is? But that's what's going on. You got to follow the money. You got to know the histories. And that's why I was emphasizing, go to the Discover the Network. I referred to it, and it's a video, and I didn't do this. The way you listen to the show is go to pronk.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S .wordpress.com. Very top, you'll see my picture. Right under it, you'll have links to the last 60 to 80 shows, and then below it, you'll have some of the material, and there's a lot of material in this post as well, of pictures, cartoons, quotes, videos, appropriate music. And all I ask you is have an open mind. You don't have to agree with me. You can totally disagree with me. Do your homework, though. And I've given you a lot of videos that will probably open your eyes, even if you're a progressive and liberal, what's going on here and what really is not talked about. They don't want to talk about the roots of Planned Parenthood and the eugenics movement and what Margaret Sanger is about. Margaret Sanger is a hero to Hillary Clinton, by the way. So I provide you a lot of information that I simply don't have the time today, really, or any show to go over. But I give you that information as pointers or references to other material. Keep an open mind, do your homework, and then you reach your own conclusions or own opinions. With that, I'll sign off with America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web, Brooklyn College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPopsWordPress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com.